We pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we're picking back up where we left off. Jesus was talking in Matthew 6 about rewards. Last week, we focused on fasting. I don't know how many of you went out and said, hey, had a great sermon on fasting. I want to tell you about it. But it would be a good thing to do. I'm telling you, it would be a good thing to do. Jesus talked about it. So we focused on fasting and the reward of fasting, that true fasting brings forth true blessing. Jesus was talking about while we give, while we pray, while we fast, that God sees us doing these things. We don't need to blow our own horn, that God will reward us. And of course, rewards always catch our attention, don't you? Don't you think? I mean, think about it for a minute here. What do you think when you think of God rewarding us? Many people probably think of money. And many of us probably think of money here today. Our society has reward cards for everything. You probably have some on your keychain. Some of you even have them in your phones. And they tell you about little things that you can pick up. How many stars you're going to have at Starbucks. They'll even send you a notification that you can get more. Because you need more coffee. You need more stuff. But the barista is not supposed to tell you. You're supposed to tell her about your reward. I don't get that. Why don't they just give me my reward? Why are they holding back on me? Why? Because I want more. Well, our society has those rewards cards. They have rewards in our phones. We all have those plastic key carry things that we carry on our keychains so we can get the rewards. But those rewards shape our loyalty. They make us go to gas stations that we travel to fill up our cars. We make sure we send our card under the gaze of that laser to get our rewards. The grocery store we frequent to buy our food every week. To the airlines we fly and the hotels we frequent. Why? Because we see value in them. And think about it. It determines whether we turn left or right, which hotel we will stay at, what food we will purchase. I mean, it drives us. Why? Because we want more. We want to seek, we are after those rewards. And so our minds are likely where the people who were listening to Jesus were, and Jesus reads us like a book. When he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, he was saying that they probably are thinking about money, and he was right. So Jesus tells us in verse 24, telling us, you cannot serve God and money. You either hate one and love the other. You'll be divided. And it's important for us to understand this term that R.C. Sproul gave us. He said, coram Deo. And I looked that term up because I didn't know what it meant, but it's a Latin phrase. It literally refers to something that takes place in the presence of or before the face of God. To live in coram Deo is to live in one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. Our title today is to treasure Christ more than the experiencing the temporary pleasures of this world and getting caught up and seeing them as treasure. Begin living for them. Now think about it. Facebook. I looked for a mower. One time I clicked on a Toro mower, and all of a sudden Facebook knows that I'm looking for a Toro mower. It's showing me the different things that I can pick up. I look at a car ad. One time Facebook has that in front of me while I'm going through. Why? Because they know these things affect us and it drives us. Shines the shiny object in front of us. God is saying to us, you need to be careful. Temporary pleasure is not true treasure. I have three titles for you. One is true treasure, the second is true wisdom, and the third is true worship. And Jesus begins with this caution of storing up and trusting in temporary pleasures. They're not treasure. They don't last. Do not lay up yourselves treasure on earth where moss and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Why? Why? Because it's temporary. They don't last. They'll wear out. It's temporal. It's destined for destruction. It's liable for loss. Moths will eat it. Rust will corrode it. Thieves will steal it. Jesus is telling us, don't lay up treasures of this world. Don't set your heart on anything that you can experience or possess. Why not? Because all material things are susceptible to decay and destruction and have to be protected from being stolen. You are driven by these things. And the media knows it. I should say the advertising people know it. The marketing people know it. You have to lock your doors in your house because you're going to protect your stuff because you have more stuff. Why? Because people will try to break in. You will either eventually lose them or leave them behind. Think about the money that you have in your wallet right now. You ever had to try, you ever put $100 in your wallet and try to hold on to it if it's broken down into 20s? Now, if you have a $100 bill, it's more painful to break that $100 bill. But if you have a 20, whoosh, my kids know when I have money. It's like a radar. And my wife knows it too. If I leave my wallet sometimes, it gets depleted. I have to count my money and watch them. But it really is. It's really hard to hold on to money, like to keep it in your wallet or your savings account. And Jesus is saying that it's not true treasure. Don't put your life, it's not that you never save. It's not that it's what he's saying. He says, don't lay your heart on this stuff. What is it about money that's so dangerous? Erwin Lutzer helps us out. He says money is dangerous because money makes all the same promises as God. It seduces us with the promise that it will be there for us in sickness and in health, in good times and bad. Only adversity can expose our false loves and keep us from hidden idolatry when it comes to riches or rewards. We should receive them thankfully. We are not to set our affections on them. Barclay talks about this. He warns us against the pleasures that will wear out like an old suit of clothes. The finest garments in the world, moths or no moths, will in the end disintegrate. All purely physical pleasures have a way of wearing out. At each successive enjoyment of them, the thrill of becoming becomes less thrilling. I mean, how many times can you ride the Raptor at Cedar Point? Or if you go to Kennywood. What is it now called? The steel something? Now, some of you could ride it all day, but after a while, the pleasure of that will wear out. And he warns us against the pleasures which can be eroded away. The grain store is inevitably prey for the marauding rats and the mice who nibble and gnaw at the grain. There are certain pleasures which inevitably lose their attraction as a man grows older, or a woman. They cease in any sense to satisfy us. In life, a man should never give his heart to the joys and the years that can be taken away. He should find his delight in the things whose thrill time is powerless to erode. Now, that spoke to me. As a guy who just saw his oldest daughter get married and his two other daughters whisked off to college, and I'm sitting around and I'm looking at my life and thinking about my life. You contemplate that stuff when you see this stuff. It's a life transition, as they say. How many games of golf? If I put my hope in golf, how many games of golf can I rely on to keep me happy? I have been on some of the most pretty golf courses and been bored to death. I've played so much golf one summer, I couldn't stand the game anymore. I like to play, don't get me wrong. I prefer the company more than to do the game. I love being with people on the golf course and talking to them for 4 hours. I'm not very good at it. But I can't put my happiness in the game of golf. You see, I guess what I'm trying to say is that God is saying that I must trust in him and him alone in the kingdom to come, and that I need to hold on loosely. I need to enjoy life, and all the good things are from him. But I'm not to put my hope in these things. My hope needs to remain in Jesus Christ. He warns against us, and he's telling us that these things can overcome us and take us on a journey that will steer us away from God. And you arrange your life around these things. And you may be in danger of leaving your happiness on these things and it goes away. Because once it goes away, then your happiness goes away. Temporary pleasure is not true treasure. Jesus is saying, don't set your hearts on these temporary and transient things. Set your affections on true treasure. What is true treasure? It's true because it's He says, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Why is it true? It's better than the temporary pleasures because it's lasting treasure. Heavenly treasure is eternal treasure. Well, what's so big about that? Well, it's unseen and it's eternal. And it's protected from loss, liability, and theft. It almost sounds like a commercial for an insurance company, doesn't it? It's protected from loss, liability, and theft, Jesus is saying. It's not only protected, but it also focuses my heart on heaven. Jesus tells us you can lay up for yourselves true treasure in heaven. It's found in what is unseen and eternal, and you can lay it up. Jesus is saying you can't take it with you, but you can lay it up. You can send it on. You can actually invest in it and get a return. Look what he says. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. My treasure, where my treasure is, it focuses my heart. Jesus says to his hearers, there's a way and there's a couple of principles that you will need to know what true treasure is. You need true wisdom to understand it, what is truly and lasting treasure. You need to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, but you need to understand that your heart is where your treasure is. You have to check your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. You will seek what you have set your affections on. When we were watching Meredith and Joey go off onto their nice trip, and we heard about them, the warnings that they were facing, and the dangers of where they were at, we prayed fervently for them. We didn't have to worry about it. Our mind was on them. Our hearts were on them. Our hearts were walking around over in Italy, Greece, Turkey, all those great places that you get to go and see. But we want them to be okay. We prayed for them. When our kids went off to college, we prayed for them. We prayed for them to be okay. We prayed that they will be safe and protected, that they will not get distracted. God will watch over them. Our prayers are much more fervent. I never thought my prayers would grow in this way, but trials bring you into a closer relationship with God, don't they? And Jesus says you need to check your heart because your heart goes where your treasure is. Where I put my treasure pulls my heart. John Ortberg said this, if you treasure money, you will be shaped by desire and greed. If you treasure power, you will be shaped by arrogance and control. If you treasure physical appearance, you will be shaped by vanity. If you treasure security, you will be shaped by fear and vulnerability. If you treasure approval, you will become a chameleon. You will be shaped by other people's opinions and applause. If your resume, you will become, if you trust your resume and you treasure it, you will become a user of people. He says, be really careful because what you treasure in your heart really does shape you. I thought that was a powerful verse. Jesus says, check your heart. But he also said something about your eyes. Ask yourself, what are you setting your eyes on? The eye is the lamp of the body, the Bible says. Jesus said that. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Then listen to this part of it, because it's interesting. He says, if then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You know, greed is very imperceptible sometimes. It's almost deceptive in that you can't even recognize it. Tim Keller talks about people coming in and telling him they confess all kinds of sins to him, but the one sin they don't confess is greed. They don't come in and say, you know, I am very greedy. They don't come in and say that. They'll come in and confess a lot of things, but they never come in and confess this. And the reason why is because it's so hard to see sometimes. And Jesus is talking to these people. He's saying, are your eyes good? Are they healthy? How do you know if your eyes are healthy? Are they set on the things of the kingdom? Or is their focus distracted? If your eye is bad, he says in verse 23, your whole body will be full of darkness. Piper helps us out with that statement. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? He says there's a necessity of choosing between the mastery of God and the mastery of money. So the flow thought would go like this. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Show that your heart is fixed on the value that God is for you in Christ. Make sure that your eye is good and not bad. That is, make sure that your heavenly treasure is infinitely more precious than the earthly material treasure. When your eyes see these things this way, you are full of light. And if you don't see these things this way, even the light that you think you see, the glitz, the flash, the skin, the muscle of this world is all darkness. You are sleepwalking through life. You are serving money as a slave without even knowing it because it has lulled you to sleep. Far better to be swayed by the truth, the infinite value of God. You see, the temptation for us, it seems, is that we want to squint. We want to kind of aim at both. We want to kind of have both. We want to have the treasure, the earthly pleasures and the treasure of this world. And we also want to have the earthly pleasures and treasures of heaven. Think about this farmer that I heard about. He came in all excited and he told his wife, "Hey, we had two baby calves, one brown, one white." He goes, "When the one grows up that's the Lord's, I'm going to give all the money to the Lord." And his wife looked at him. She goes, "Which one is the Lord's cow?" And he says, "Well, there's no need to determine that now." And he goes back to his business. He takes care of the calves. And they're getting bigger and fatter. And then one day he comes in sad. His wife looks at him, she goes, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, the Lord's cow died." Why is it always the Lord's cow that dies? You see, it's very interesting as we look at this that Jesus is bringing this up in this way. There's a temptation for us that we are trying to keep our eyes on both the temporary pleasures of the earth and at the same time, the treasures of heaven. You are divided, Jesus is saying. You have a divided heart. R.C. Sproul says, the Christian who compartmentalizes his or her life into two sections of the religious and the non-religious has failed to grasp the big idea. The big idea is that all of life is religious or none of life is religious. To divide life between the religious and the non-religious is itself a sacrilege. True wisdom, and this is not him, this is me. True wisdom comes from keeping our eyes on the prize. Single in purpose and aim. Some of you guys have shot a rifle or you've shot a pistol. When you look through the sight, you are looking through the first sight, but then there's a bead on the end. And you aim at that and your eye is singly focused on a single line between those two points because that's straight. You're shooting straight. You're aiming straight. You're single in your focus. That's how we have to aim at heaven, single in our focus. Erwin Lutzer, I remember him saying this, or it was Joe Stoll, that said, if you aim at heaven, earth is included. If you aim at earth, you won't get heaven. We need to understand what it means to have true treasure. We need to understand what true wisdom is and that we need to check our hearts and check our eyes because our eyes is what we set our eyes on. What's our focus on? Facebook knows what our eyes are on. They know where our heart is. They know that if our heart goes, our body will follow and so will our wallets. They know that. That's why you see those things. God is saying, pull back. From that. Think about what God is saying here. You don't need to be driven by that. You can be freed from that. That true worship comes with understanding this. In verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You see, he's talking about serving God, that our life is a worship. We worship God by everything that we do and say. And that God is saying you can't do both. And so true worship means your treasure shows you where your heart is. What do you treasure? Your heart shows you who your Lord is. Your true worship is treasuring Christ more than the earthly pleasures of this world. You can't do both. That's what he's addressing. The big idea here is that the coram deo, the way that we live our lives under the gaze of God, that we can't divide it away. We can't divide it up into what is religious and what is not religious. We have to be single in our focus and in our purpose. These are statements are by Stan Oliott. Your treasure shows you where your heart is. Your heart shows you who your Lord is. You're driven by that stuff. If it's money, you will sacrifice time and treasure for it. People give up their families for treasure, earthly treasure. It's temporary. You see, it's worth it to invest in the kingdom of Christ. It's worth it as a group here, and we think about that investment that we're making over here, because people matter more than programs. That we are investing in people and souls. Heaven, all of heaven celebrates when one soul comes to salvation in Christ. It's worth it, the investment, to strengthen marriages. It's worth it to send money into the city mission, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry, to give to the poor. All of those things are about kingdom and treasure for the kingdom to come. Oliott says, your heart shows you all of these things. Is your treasure in heaven? Your Lord is in heaven. You serve God. If your treasure is on earth, your Lord is on earth, and you serve mammon. You serve mammon like a successful farmer who decided to build bigger barns. Jesus says, this night your soul will be required of you. You are foolish. The things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So this is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You can't take it with you. That's what Jesus is saying. So what's the antidote to be rich towards God? In Luke 12, Jesus explains to sell. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide for yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with the treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. It's interesting, isn't it? When God gives us stuff, we're supposed to receive it joyfully. Because the psalmist said, everything belongs to the Lord. He says these words in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 50, verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. David knew that God saw him and that he was living under the Coram Deo of God, the gaze of God, when he was out as a shepherd boy, when God sent Samuel to go find him out in the field. He knows where you are too. And he knows that we're tempted by these things, that we need to know what true treasure is. And we need true wisdom, wisdom from above, to identify it, in order that we are not divided from God, that we truly worship God more. We treasure Christ more than the temporary earthly pleasures of this world. Not that we are not supposed to enjoy them. All good things are from God. But we're not to set our hearts on these things. Little flock, he says, don't lay up treasures here. Lay up treasures for there. How many of you played Monopoly? Have you ever finished the game? It's great when you have all the hotels and you keep watching them roll the dice. And then you say, you laying on me, you're dead meat. You may not say it that way, I would. But you just wipe them out. They land on there, you've got houses on there, you've got hotels on there. So it wipes them out. And you end up going. And you've got all the stuff. But eventually, the game comes to a close, doesn't it? And you take all the pieces, and you scoop them up, and you put it back in the box. That's the way life is, friend. That's what Jesus is saying. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And you can be freed up from being driven from earthly pleasures. Not that you don't enjoy them, but being driven by them, by setting your affections on them. That you can enjoy true treasure now. And truly have the wisdom to worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father God, as we come to you, we know the game. Well, Help us to keep our gaze on you, because your gaze is on us. Help us to hold on to the earthly pleasures here loosely, receive them thankfully, but not put our trust in them. That we can lay up treasure in heaven. That we can aim for heaven and have earth included. That you want to give it to us. That you say in your word, you make known to me the path of life. Lord, in your presence there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures, pleasant places forevermore. Let us look for that kingdom to come. Let us wait upon Jesus. And while we occupy, Lord, let us serve you. And let us look at and trust Jesus for the rewards that are unseen and eternal. Care more about people than programs. Clothe the naked. Feed the hungry. Give to the poor. Lord, let us continue to serve you and glorify you in all that we say and do. And be thankful for all that we've been given in this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.